Let me pass these out, please. We all have a copy of Psalm 81, Psalm 81A and B here, which we will focus on, and these will be the psalms that we use. We know this tune also to Chesterfield, which is normally "How excellent in all the earth, Yah, our Lord, is thy name." But we were working on this in to another tune, and it did not has not yet turned out. So this is a song we should sing every new moon, I think. It's a psalm designed to be sung to remind you of the purposes of the new moon. Emma says she feels very good about singing this one. So I think we'll do all right.
Ready? Sing glad to God, our strength with joy, to Jacob's God you
Psalm, if you pay attention to the words, a little fourth commandment quoted there. a little third commandment mentioned there all throughout it, reasons why we are to remember to keep the new moon and the Sabbath day and what we're to remember on it. So there's a few things that we're going to start doing here on Sabbaths. And one of the things is we're either going to have a recitation of Psalm 119 or sing it for our opening, the open Bible study up with and Sabbath worship. So I thought to myself how long Psalm 119 is and how it is a great psalm. It's really hard to fit into one song, so you have to break it up in the alphabetical order that Yahweh chose to break it up and inspire it to David. And it's to the tune, it will be going in the order of the tunes we already have. So I think that's something we can do pretty regularly, and it will also help us memorize Psalm 119. And who doesn't want to memorize Psalm 119? So you notice the beginning of every psalm, right beside it says Aleph, that is the Hebrew word for it, or Hebrew letter A. And Yahweh broke up Psalm 119 into A through Z, so to speak, or Alpha through Omega, however you want to view it. So it could be broken down into smaller psalms. So I think that would be great because we can then go through this about twice a year. So if you remember, Psalm 1 is perfect blessedness. We'll call it out. Blessed are they that undefiled and straight are in the way.
Blessed are they that undefiled and straight are in the way.
Who in the Lord's most holy law do walk and do not stray.
Who in the Lord's most holy law do walk and do not stray.
Blessed are they who to observe his statutes are inclined.
Blessed are they who to observe his statutes are inclined.
And who do seek the living God with their whole heart and mind.
And who do seek the living God with their whole heart and mind.
Such in his ways do walk, and they do no iniquity.
Such in his ways do walk, and they do no iniquity.
Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precept carefully.
Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precept carefully.
Oh, that thy statutes to observe, thou wouldest my ways direct.
Oh, that thy statutes to observe, thou wouldest my ways direct.
Then shall I not be shamed when I thy precepts all respect.
Then shall I not be shamed when I thy precepts all respect.
Then with integrity of heart thee will I praise and bless.
Then with integrity of heart thee will I praise and bless.
When I the judgments all have learned of thy pure righteousness.
When I the judgments all have learned of thy pure righteousness.
That I will keep thy statutes all, firmly resolved have I.
That I will keep thy statutes all, firmly resolved have I.
Oh, do not then, most gracious God, forsake me utterly.
Oh, do not then, most gracious God, forsake me utterly.
I think we will call them out every Sabbath. I think that will definitely help. Since we know the tunes, it's just the new words being put to it. So hopefully everybody enjoys doing that and will enjoy start learning Psalm 119, a very important psalm for us to focus on. With that being said, we have a sheet also, which will go along with what we had. We're not going to read it right now, but I just want everybody to know it's there. We have a sheet that goes along in continuation with a catechismal reading from Romans 3, which we will do after the message today. I just wanted everybody to know it was there so that we can have it. And so while we are a very small little flock, a very small group of people in the world, in fact, who are celebrating New Year today, I have decided that I would focus all of our thoughts on that subject and try to put some application to it as to why it matters and where it's mentioned in the Word of God. So if everybody would go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 10, we're going to have a resuscitation right out of Scripture, right out of the King James Bible, that is. Since I know no one has a non-King James here right now, I don't say anything about it. We're going to start in 20, and we're going to go the whole way until the end of chapter 11. It's a long resuscitation, but it dovetails into our message. So I hope that it is useful. Deuteronomy 10, starting in verse 20. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave and swear by his name.
He is thy praise, and he is thy God, that hath done for thee these great and terrible things, which thine eyes have seen.
Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude.
Therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and keep his charge, and his statutes, and his judgments, and his commandments always.
And know ye this day, for I speak not with your children, which have not known, and which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, and his stretched out arm.
And his miracles and his acts, which he did in the midst of Egypt, unto Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and unto all his land.
And what he did unto the army of Egypt, unto their horses, and to their chariots, how he made the water of the Red Sea to overflow them as they pursued after you, and how the Lord hath destroyed them unto this day.
And what he did unto you in the wilderness until ye came into this place.
And what he did unto Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, the son of Reuben, how the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up in their households, in their tents, and all the substance that was in their possession in the midst of all Israel.
That your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which he did.
Therefore shall ye keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that ye may be strong and go in and possess the land, whether ye go to possess it.
And that ye may prolong your days in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give unto them and to their seed, a land that floweth with milk and honey.
For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt, from whence ye came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot, as a garden of herbs.
But the land whither ye go to possess it is the land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven.
A land which the Lord thy God careth for, the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year.
And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all of your heart and with all of your soul,
that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn, and thy wine, and thy oil.
And I will send grass in my fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full.
Take heed to yourself, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them.
And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, and there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, unless ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you.
Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes.
And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them, thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up.
Thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house, and upon thy gates.
That your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children, in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth.
For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do them, to love Yahweh your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him,
then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves.
Every place whereon the sole of your feet shall tread shall be yours. From the wilderness of Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the utmost sea shall your coasts be.
There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that ye shall tread upon, as he hath said unto you.
Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse.
A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day.
And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yahweh your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other gods which you have not known.
And it shall come to pass, when the Lord thy God hath brought thee in unto the land whither thou goest to possess it, that thou shalt put the blessing upon Mount Gerizim, and a curse upon Mount Ebal.
Are they not on the other side Jordan by the way where the sun goes down, in the land of the Canaanites, which dwell in the champaign over against Gilgal, beside the plains of Morah?
Ye shall pass over Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you, and ye shall possess it and dwell therein.
And ye shall observe to do all the statutes and judgments which I set before you this day. And let's hear end and resuscitation. Very much what we have just resuscitated is a covenant. It's a covenant in Scripture that God was promising through Moses that he was going to give Israel a land that was very blessed, very similar to what we have in America as far as blessing, maybe more so blessed here as far as the croplands that we have, as far as the agricultural abilities that we have in this continent. We are very blessed, and we do not live in a land that is like the land of Egypt. It's a desert and has to have a flooding river in order to have fertility every year. And that you have to take buckets of water to water all of your crops, which now we have pumps, but nevertheless, then they use buckets and water screws and things like that. But rather that Yahweh says that in the land he gives to his people, he will water with rain. He will do the watering, and he'll make sure you have what you need. And I hope it's noticed there that what is being said in that particular verses that we've resuscitated was an agreement that Yahweh made with his people, and that he desired of his people to realize that there was a blessing and a curse in obeying the commandments of Yahweh. There was a blessing and a curse and obedience, and that was going to be represented in agriculture. It was going to be represented in the way in which nature responded to the people, whether the land would spew you out or whether the land would keep you with its blessing. And so I thought that was an important thing for us to focus on, because today, and so we'll take a little break right here if anybody needs to take a break. We'll come back to our songbook.
So in our, we have another catechismal resuscitation that is from Romans chapter 3, which will appear in the next printing of our songbooks. To help teach the knowledge of sin and free grace that should hopefully on this nice long new moon weekend, if we remember what we talked about at Sabbath time, which was Romans 1 and 2, this will then connect to it. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law.
That every man may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God.
Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight.
For by the law is the knowledge of sin.
But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest,
being witnessed by the law and the prophets,
even the righteousness of God by faith of
Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe.
There is no difference,
for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God,
being justified freely by his grace through redemption, that is,
in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood,
to declare his righteousness
for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God,
to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness,
that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus.
Where is boasting, then?
It is excluded.
By what law? Of works?
Nay, but by the law of faith.
Wherefore we conclude that
a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law.
So I hope everybody understands the depth of that. That's a really important chapter in the book of Romans. We have Psalm 34, A and B, to close our worship with. And then we'll have a reciting of the Athanasian Creed, which we do every month, to remember the doctrine of the Trinity and the mystery of it.
God will like words of times his praise, my mouth shall still express, my soul shall boast in God the peace, my soul shall boast in God the peace, shall be I sought the Lord, he God his things, none that him fear. Fear God his things, none that him fear. Shall be with want oppressed. The lions young may hungry be, and they may lack their food. But they that truly seek the Lord, but they that truly seek the Lord, shall not lack any good. O children, hither do ye come, and unto me I shall you teach to understand. I shall you teach to understand. How ye the Lord shall fear. What man is he that life desires to see good work? Thy lips refrain from speaking guile. Thy lips refrain from speaking guile. And from the words I come. Depart from ill to good deeds. Pursue with her. God's eyes are on the just his ears. God's eyes are on the just his ears. Are open to their cry. The face of God is set against those that you wish. Christ out on the earth, that he may Christ out from the earth, cut off their memory. The righteous cry unto the Lord, ye unto them give ear. And they out of their troubles all, and they out of their troubles all, by him delivered. The Lord is ever nigh to them that be of broken. Whatever can be called.
pretty good, I think. I really like that song. Psalm 34 is a really good song.
I love watching a quarter when we get to the high part. You know that middle sentence there?
Oh, there's so much good in that, so many good lines in that psalm that really speak to me, at least. There's ones about God saving you, and then the other ones about God destroying the memory of the wicked. I like that.
Yeah.
I really like to get into them.
He will kill him whose soul hates the just.
Slay them, you know.
And we're commanded by St. Paul to sing those psalms.
That's right. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart unto the Lord. And that's what he intended you to sing.
The Lord redeems servant souls, none perish that in Christ. That's a pretty good one.
That's a good one, too. So we're going to have our monthly resuscitation of the Athanasian Creed. I hope that everybody has time to think about what we read and what we are to meditate on, because this teaches us how God works in the Trinity, between the three persons of the Trinity, but is one God in fact, one Yahweh. And I was just having a conversation with Kate the other day about this, how God would be so mysterious and unknown to us. It's mysterious enough as he expresses himself, but he would be totally unknown to us if God did not use the Trinity to manifest himself to us, because he would just be a totally unknown, singular being, so powerful that we would have no ability to understand him. And so the things that we're taught in the Bible have been put in to this creed, and so I hope that that is what we use it for, to try to understand God more clearly. Whosoever will be saved before all things, it is necessary that he hold the uniting faith.
With faith accept everyone to be deep, whole, and undefiled. Without doubt, he shall perish everlastingly.
And the uniting faith is this:
that we worship one Yahweh, God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity.
Neither confounding the persons, nor dividing the substance.
For there is one person of the Father, another of the Son, and another of the Holy Spirit.
But the Godhead of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit is all one.
The glory equal, the majesty co-eternal.
Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit.
The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, and the Holy Spirit uncreated.
The Father infinite, the Son infinite, and the Holy Spirit infinite.
The Father eternal, the Son eternal, and the Holy Spirit eternal.
And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal.
And also there are not three uncreated, nor three infinites, but one uncreated and one infinite.
So likewise the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, and the Holy Spirit almighty.
And yet they are not three almighties, but one almighty.
So the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God.
And yet they are not three gods, but one God.
So likewise the Father is Lord, the Son Lord, and the Holy Spirit Lord.
And yet not three Lord Yahwehs, but one Yahweh.
For like as we are compelled by the Christian verity to acknowledge every person by himself to be God and Lord,
so are we forbidden by the united religion to say there be three gods or three lords.
The Father is made of none, neither created nor begotten.
The Son is of the Father alone, not made nor created, but begotten.
The Holy Spirit is of the Father and of the Son, neither made, nor created, nor begotten, but proceeding.
So there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits.
And in this Trinity, none is afore or after another, none is greater or less than another.
But the whole three persons are co-eternal and co-equal.
So that in all things, as aforesaid, the unity is in Trinity, and the Trinity is in unity to be worshipped.
He therefore that will be saved must thus think of the Trinity.
Furthermore, it is necessary in everlasting salvation that one also believe faithfully the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the right faith is that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God and man.
God of the substance of the Father, begotten before the world, and man of the substance of the Mother, born into the world.
Perfect God and perfect man, of a reasonable soul and human flesh subsisting.
Equal to the Father as touching his Godhead, and inferior to the Father as touching his manhood.
Who although he be God and man, yet he is not two, but one Christ.
One not by conversion of the Godhead into flesh, but by taking of the manhood into God.
One altogether not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person.
For as the reasonable soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ,
who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead.
He ascended into heaven, he sitteth on the right hand of our God Almighty,
from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead.
At whose coming all men shall rise again with their bodies,
and shall give an account for their own works.
And they that have done good shall go into life everlasting, and they that have done evil into everlasting fire.
This is the uniting faith which except one believe, it shall not be saved. Well, you got lots of papers to collect. Try to keep them in some kind of order. Christian, you do such a good job in praying for our meeting. I'd like to ask you to do that regularly.
All right.
You always have good things to add. I fall into the rest.
Sometimes my prayers are simple and I can't think of certain things to pray for, so I just pray. You know, and sometimes other things come to my mind. So. Dear God, thank you for another day of your grace and mercy, Lord. Help us to realize your mercies are new every morning. And please help us that truth to refresh our souls every morning when we wake up. Thank you for this new moon, Lord. Thank you for your holy scriptures. Please help us just to obey the simplicity of your word and to just have simple faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, and the words that are written in your scripture. Please bless us this day, Lord. Help us to have the joy of the Lord. Help us to show the fruits of the Spirit one toward another as we go out in this this upcoming work week. Help us to work hard. Give us wisdom and knowledge and understanding in our dealings with people and dealing with the physical work that we have to do. Help us just to become better workers all around and help us to give glory to you for it. And thank you for this food that we're about to eat.